Buggity.
Hey, Ben Lawrence. Okay, we're starting off the show with a new bit.
Oh, good.
It's a new thing. We've never done it before. It's called Get Betty Out of the Room.
That's a new bit?
And the way I'm going to get Betty out of the room, the way I'm going to get Betty out of this is by imitating Future Islands. Here we go. Because I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. Come on. Get out.
Okay, fine.
I've been waiting on you.
My phone is low.
I've been waiting on you.
You know.
Come on, get out.
I'm not a parent.
How am I supposed to?
I don't have kids, so I wouldn't understand. But I'm assuming that as a father, you might just be able to say to your daughter, you know what? Get out of the room right now. Please.
And my white charger doesn't work.
Ben, we have reached a limit of technology. The issue is my child, who basically needs to be hooked up to a phone to live by design, because we're doing this, therefore we have something to take away to fully punish her. You didn't hear that. She shouted very funny from inside the room. Her battery is low, and the only working charger is in my room. So I am now outside the room, Ben. So,
are you
hello.
In a comfortable place?
I'm in an okay
place.
Or
are you just standing outside your bedroom, leaning up against the door?
I'm in the kitchen, and I'm fine.
All right.
I'm totally fine. I'm cool with this.
As long as
this
you feel
great.
Safe.
That's how I wanted this to be in the first place. So, hey, Ben.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you? We just wrapped up the first day of shooting for the next episode of The Panel Jumper.
Oh, awesome. Now, I don't know how The Panel Jumper PR works. Do you tease what it's going to be about before it actually comes out, or is it a surprise?
No, it's never generally a surprise. Cole is the marketer in the family, and so he has been teasing details and taking pictures from the shoot last night and posting it to Facebook. But
gotcha.
It's basically about EC Comics and the Senate Subcommittee on Juvenile Delinquency.
Yes.
So we're
that, if
doing
anytime
that.
Anyone mentions EC, it's too bad because, you know, the comics are nice too.
Yeah.
But that is normally the topic of conversation.
Exactly.
Not to say that I believe that Cole will not, you know, get into the kinds of stuff they did. But the thing now this is before my time, but, you know, comics last forever. So
yeah.
There were some horror comics that they did that were in a volume at my local library.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is the library that I use to this day now that I live in the town where I went to high school.
So it is, once again, your local library. So they had a compendium of EC's horror comics,
mm-hmm.
which started this all, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
EC had other genres. And those other genres were a lot more subversive, but for some reason, the people just couldn't get out of their heads that the little kitties would be influenced by images of people, like, taking axes to other people. And not say, like, a anti-governmental subversive war comic. Which EC also produced.
What was the timeline for this? Do you remember? Time period?
It was in the 50s. I don't exactly know which what year, but I should know because we're taping the show and we've written the script and I'm sure we mentioned the year in the script. I just can't remember it offhand.
I'm just wondering if the film code and the comics code coincided like around the same time.
Film code,
because I learned something.
Like the
pre-code films and what's that?
Yeah, like the ratings, the system.
Mm-hmm. Right. The reason I ask is because And I think now this is going to be another thing teasing our other segment, corrections, that I feel like there was a rating system and there was a code, and the two things may not have been the same. Like, the code may have come before the rating system.
I don't remember
one of them. One of them was, I just remember the term pre-code films. That's why I'm thinking that there was one. But the thing is, though, I know that at least one of them had the involvement of the Catholic Church. There's an actual advisor to the people that set this up. And I don't think it was government censorship. I think it was voluntary censorship by the studios. So I'm wondering, the Comics Code, though, there was an actual Senate subcommittee, eh?
Yes, an actual Senate subcommittee. And William Gaines, the publisher of Mad Magazine, testified because he published EC Comics.
Oh,
so it was,
there we go.
It was his livelihood that was on the line. And so we have Ray Williams playing William Gaines and James Wideman playing Frederick Wortham, who wrote the book Seduction of the Innocent, all about the how comics are a terrible influence on children.
Sure. Yeah. He's James Wideman. I like me some James Wideman. I like me some Ray Williams too.
Yeah.
Two great local Seattle actors.
Yeah.
I had a discussion with somebody today, just a person at work interested in film and stuff. And he was saying that you know, I should continue to keep my West Coast contacts just in case I want to do film stuff. And I was saying, you know, it's too bad that Seattle passes up opportunities to increase their standing in the film community all the time by voting against incentives to get people to film there and stuff. Is that still going on, or has Seattle changed?
That is still going on. The incentive is absurdly low, and
yes,
we have a TV show that films in Eastern Washington called Z Nation, and they basically use up the entire incentive. I want to say they use like 90% of the incentive that
yes,
Washington Filmworks has to give out through the legislature. And
Have you seen Z Nation by any chance?
I have not, but I know a lot of people in it, so I should probably watch it.
I had the opportunity before I left Seattle to audition for Z Nation.
Oh, yeah?
And I ended up not doing it because I was loath to like try to go to Eastern Washington at the time. I was poor.
At
the time when I lived,
they
in
don't reimburse for travel or for lodging or
right,
anything like that. They actually have
exactly,
there's a sour taste in everybody's mouth around the Z Nation production when you talk to local actors.
Oh, of course, anyone who who works for Z Nation, listen to this. I'm sure that everyone is happy to be there. I had the same. That's why I didn't audition. I didn't do anything more for Knights of Badassdom. I auditioned for a speaking role.
Yeah.
That I did not get, and they're like, "Hey, if you're interested in being an extra, you could still come down." And I was like, "Nope, no thanks."
I finally saw that the other day.
Yeah,
it's on.
It was all right.
It's on Netflix, and so I checked it out because your friend of mine, Basil Harris, is in the movie.
Basil Harris makes, and I'm serious about this. I am 100% serious. Even if I didn't know Basil, I would brighten up whenever I see him in something. Yeah. Him and Brandon Whitehead, like whenever I would see them in like stuff, I would say, you know, even if I didn't know them, I would be charmed by their performance.
Yeah.
And speaking about if I didn't know them, I would be charmed by their performance, it's time for a flashback. Things that Paul knew about Ben before Paul met Ben.
Alrighty. Hey, is this another regular segment? Because we had this last week.
No, there's only one. There's only one story, really.
Okay.
And this is the big thing is I when I met Ben, I didn't know that he was this guy. And it turns out that his voice wasn't his voice. But when I was living in Canada, I saw a trailer for 10 Things I Hate About You. And it was, I remember because I saw it a lot. It would come on a lot because I used to watch a lot of TV. It was something like, would you ever want to, because I didn't see the actual film. Would you ever want to date Catalina Stratlin? Was that something, or what do you think about Catalina Stratlin?
Catalina Stratford.
Am I close? Catalina Stratford. Okay. See, this is all, like I said, all from memory. And there was a guy, and he said only if she was the last woman on Earth and there were no goats, are there goats?
Yeah.
And I turned to my my roommate at the time, and I said, no reason to go see the movie. That was the best line in the entire film. And later on, I don't know if it came up because I was telling the story about that, and you were like, well, that was actually me, or if you told me, one of the two things happened.
I remember this moment. We were all hanging out in the parking lot before an ATF rehearsal down at Sandpoint.
Yep.
And I don't think I brought it up. I think somebody else brought it up. And you were like, hey, I know you. Even though we'd known each other for a while at that point.
Yeah. And the thing about it that you told me was, actually the line is supposed to be, are there sheep?
Yeah.
They redubbed my voice for the trailer.
Yeah.
So I hadn't actually heard your delivery, but I still think that it was probably great.
Yeah, have you even seen the movie after all these years?
Nope.
It's not a bad film.
Never saw it.
You should check it out.
I believe it.
I believe it.
Of course, the 10 Things I Hate About You, Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
Remake, for those that don't know it.
A little play on words there.
And wait, who's the guy? Who's the main dude who is in that?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. Kind of cool.
Yeah. Heath Ledger was also in the film.
Right. And the three of you used to like go bowling together. And no, really.
Yeah, we were tight.
Did you meet either of those two guys?
I did meet Joseph Gordon-Levitt and the other dude who was in the scene, David Krumholtz, and who's, for some reason, I can never remember his name, but I was able to remember it today, because they were in the, scene that I was in. And so we were all done with shooting, and, Joseph and David were just standing by themselves, off to the side. And I was with all the other like day players who were in that scene, all the other, freaks. And so I'm just like, screw it. I'm going to go and introduce myself. So I went up and I shook Joseph's hand, said, nice to meet you. It's been great working here and blah, blah, blah. And did the same thing with David. And then walked off. And then one by one, all the other all the other day players followed me. So, it was fun. And when people find out that I was in that movie, they're like, ooh, did you meet Heath Ledger? And I'm like, no, you know, he wasn't Heath Ledger at that point.
Yeah.
And so right. I never met him, but I probably saw him because there was a time when there's like this red convertible that's featured in one of the parking lots, and they were driving around and somebody pointed over to the car while we were having lunch or something on the day of shooting, and said those are all the male leads in the film. And so I'm sure he was in the car that I saw pass me by.
Yeah.
But
And then I remember, if I remember correctly, Joseph Gordon-Levitt pulled you aside later and said, "Look, this isn't going to make any sense for you, but years from now, there's going to be a film called Inception. don't let your comedy partner talk to you about it because you're going to go nuts."
And only if I had heeded those words.
And here's the thing. I'm going to do it again really quick. For those of you who haven't heard it or read it, I have an Inception hypothesis. Jennifer is turning off the podcast now. Ben, write in the show notes when Jennifer can stop listening to me talk about Inception and start listening to the podcast again, because it's going to be important for her.
All right. Inception, notes when Paul stops talking about it.
The basic thing is this. Arthur, the character played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I think it's Arthur. Isn't that Arthur?
I have no idea.
Arthur is his
name. I've only seen the. Yes, I think I've seen the film twice.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it's Arthur. Arthur is supposed to be the one who goes down to the snow level of Inception.
Right.
Who instead, it's Eames who goes down to it.
Bane,
but,
as
we
know him.
Say again? Oh, yes.
And Mad Max, actually.
Yeah, actually, Mad Max.
Tom Hardy.
Maybe the kid, all grown up, but that's a controversial one.
I actually subscribe to that theory.
I do too. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
So here's the issue. His name's Arthur. There is the guy played by the Scarecrow from Batman, if we're going with Batman illusions.
Cillian Murphy.
And then the old guy who's dying inside the hospital, right? And all this stuff. And their last name is Fisher, right? There's a story of the Fisher King where King Arthur meets two knights, or two versions of the Fisher King. One is outside of a castle and one is inside of a castle. And as the Fisher King dies, the land around him dies. All of this is an allusion to the Fisher King. And by having Joseph Gordon-Levitt and his character Arthur not be the one that goes down to the snow level, it ruins that whole bit. And I can't tell why that decision was made. If they were like, well, it's too on the nose and decided to not worry about it. Or if it's the case of the director going, I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt for this staircase thing instead.
I'm wondering if it...
Or
what?
Yeah, go ahead. Or I was going to say, or if... Who's Bane? What's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. If Tom Hardy went, I'm a big enough actor, I want to do the snowmobile stuff. You know, and so they said, okay, we'll let Tom do it.
I think you're giving the filmmakers a little bit too much credit. I think this is sort of like numerology, where you can subscribe any sort of meaning you want to something, and you can make it make sense. And so the fact that it doesn't completely fall in line with the Fisher King mythos, I think tells me that it's nothing that was intentionally perpetrated.
In the script, Arthur is the one who goes to the Fisher King level. It's only in the movie where he doesn't do it. That's what I'm saying.
But the script is the movie. It's not like this was a book beforehand.
No. The shooting script. In the shooting script. The published shooting script that I read.
So are you saying that that Nolan originally had this really great... this great idea, this great symbology, and then when they were planning on shooting it, one of the actors was like, "No, I like riding snowmobiles." So Nolan says, "Okay, we'll just abandon all of this great mythology that
Here's
I've decided
thing.
To have in my movie, and let
Nolan
you ride snowmobiles."
Nolan and his brother probably had an argument about it. And maybe one of the people was injured in the film, and then they couldn't do the scene that they were supposed to do, and so they swapped them out. It's a whole bunch of ideas of what happened, but the main thing is it was Arthur in the script, which made a lot of sense, and then they changed it. And I don't know why, but yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Oh, and not only that... But the first scene in the film when they're in the dream, that's the Inception on Cobb. And if you follow the whole thing, I'm going to stop, I promise. But if the rest of the movie, right, their Inception on Fisher, it's exactly what they were trying to do to Cobb throughout the film. They're just one level back from the other level. So the idea that his wife is this enemy of theirs, they're putting that into his brain, just like they put into the brain that who's the British guy who he's been in so many things. He played Hannibal Lecter in Mindhunter.
I never saw Mindhunter.
Or
oh yeah, wait, yeah, no, yeah. Of course it's not Winter. Brian Cox. Wait.
Yeah, Brian Cox. The same way that they make Brian Cox into Cillian Murphy's enemy, they made Madeleine Coutard. What's her name?
Marianne Coutard?
French woman. Yeah, yeah. They made her Cobb's enemy. It's the same. Yeah, if you watch the whole thing, because there's a time when he asks Eames if they ever did an Inception before, and he said, "We tried it. It didn't work." The person they tried it on was Cobb in the beginning.
This is how little I've thought about this movie. I don't even remember Brian Cox being in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's totally in it. So, okay. We're back.
All right.
And if it's not Brian Cox, it's someone who's very similar to Brian Cox.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, mark that time down. Tell Jennifer that she can come back to the episode.
It's about 21 minutes all told, I guess. I'll put the exact time in the show notes for
wait, it was 21 minutes that I...
No, you didn't talk about it for 21 minutes. Yeah, yeah. She could just skip ahead to 21 minutes.
Hey, man, when I get into the zone, you never know. spoilers for Inception, by the way.
I gotta say, I kind of want... Because it's been a number of years since I've seen... I think I saw it twice in the theaters. I think I was kind of jazzed and like really confused. So I went to go see it again in theaters. I may watch it again soon because, like, I really like Tom Hardy because since I've seen Inception, I've seen The Dark Knight Returns and Mad Max most of all. So I want to see Tom Hardy in that. And
I have the Blu-ray of Inception.
Bring it over. And there's also this. Yeah. There's also this like talk that this guy gave at I think the Google headquarters where he spoke for an hour about the movie. And, like, a lot of the hidden meanings. It's really quite fascinating. You probably told me about it.
Wait, who talked for an hour
I don't know.
About the movie
it's some dude. I think he wrote a book on Inception, and he gave a talk at Google. It's like, they have, like, these lunchtime chats where, like, Google employees can just drop in and out of like, a really smart person talking about really smart things.
I can't do it. Oh, but I might. I'd like to look at that book. But, no, if you go to my blog, paulgoody.blogspot.com. No, that's not right. That's not it. paulgoody.wordpress.com. Sorry. Blogspot. Don't go to Blogspot. I don't know what. So if you go to my WordPress account and you look at it, I go on for a while. I have several different Inception theories. Hypotheses. They're hypotheses, not theories. So, yeah, I have some, is what I'm saying.
All right.
Okay, so reset the time, because now we're
keep
stuck.
Them to yourself, sir. All right, we're about 23 minutes, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Inception spoiler. There's a train at one point in time that comes in.
Yes.
And Jennifer's like, where'd that train come from? Oh, I know. It drove through one of the holes in the plot, which was great. We've talked about Jennifer in movies before. She is the worst person to go see a movie with, and she is the best person to go see a movie with, and I cannot deny that that is true. So, speaking of Jennifer Pratt, my wife, very intelligent, very studious, able to find problems with things, and that's good because this podcast was set up with an idea in mind, and then I moved, and the podcast didn't happen for a while, and then it came back. And when it came back, one of the things that we decided, Ben and I, is that people try to act all highfalutin, like they're smart, like they got good brains and stuff, but really all they know how to do is type something into Google and then read off what it tells them. And therefore, we decided that for this podcast, we would be using our brains and not search engines to find all the answers to all the questions that we had. For a little while, we had a segment where Ben would read out questions and we'd try to answer them.
Yeah, by using Google Autofill.
Yes, that's right. And we'd ask people to write back with what we got wrong. And my wife did. And we also, Stephen McCandless and Ray Williams.
Jose Amador.
Jose Amador. Did I say Ray Williams one time?
Like in the past?
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
But no, I think I was just thinking about him because
we mentioned him about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say he was in Jose and the Hawk, and also we mentioned him. That's probably why. But yeah, Jose Amador did it. But here's the big thing, and this is where we're getting to today's segment. Ben and I realized we did not have to try to answer questions to get things wrong. We get things wrong naturally.
It just comes quite naturally to us.
Indeed. So we have a segment called Corrections.
One might say that our ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
All right, I interrupted. I interrupted the theme song. Go ahead and complete it.
Oh no, that's okay. That's okay. It's the remix theme song. Corrections.
Ding.
Ding.
Okay. I pulled up the email. She says, "Not much this week, and a lot of editorializing. Sorry, not sorry." The sovereign citizen's tactic has no constitutional basis and is basically just aggravating to judges who have to deal with these folks in preliminary hearings for misdemeanors. There are a few judges that have a really excellent approach to dealing with them. Judge John Hurley is an excellent example. So, take that as...
Does she say anything about Judge John Hurley?
Nope.
The
battery is gifted to, and this is number two, the battery is gifted to us by Steve.
Oh, really, 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 really quick sovereign citizen thing.
Yeah.
If Jennifer, if you're listening to this, could you do a little bit of a lookup on the whole thing between your birth certificate being in all caps, meaning that you're a corporation and not a person thing? That's an aspect of the sovereign citizen deal that I really want to get a handle on that I don't have a handle on. Because I mentioned it last time, and for the life of me, I don't remember what it is.
I do.
But it's somehow you're supposed to be able to get money, I think.
I don't know about that part, but I have seen some videos online about these sovereign citizens who go to like a court date and are just pests.
And yeah, I haven't, but I guess
there's one.
I should.
Yeah, there's one. There's one video I remember where like a security guard or a bailiff or something is just like really like patiently trying to deal with one of these kids, and they are kids. And I think at the very end, just lays this kid out, like with a right hook. I may be misremembering that, or maybe I just wanted that to happen. Anyway,
does he right beforehand go, "I guess one wrong does make a right"? I don't know
one
how
wrong,
to do it. But...
Or time to meet your haymaker.
I like yours better. Okay, sorry.
All right, number two.
Yeah.
The batteries gifted to us by Steven are freaking great. I was unsuccessful in convincing Paul to use the ones in the case. The ones in the charger that had been unplugged were not charged completely, but also would have been fine. The battery memory thing is generally not an issue with these batteries. Sometimes I think he gets flung back to 1998 or something. That's something that I always have a problem dealing with as well, because I was always told that if you do not discharge a battery completely, it will never retain 100% of its capacity.
I have heard that exact same thing. Yes.
I guess that's 1998 thinking. We should get, used to
exactly.
2018 thinking.
We're old people, Ben.
Yep.
Man. Today at work, or no, not today, yesterday at work. I'm not giving anything away here. I told a guy, well, I think you and I are contemporaries, and he was like, "Oh wow, you made me feel pretty good. I feel like one of the young kids." And I'm like, "I'm 44 years old." And he's like, "Oh, I'm 42. I don't feel good anymore." And I'm like, "Neither do I, sir."
Neither do I. All right.
So Jennifer is here, and she has walked by. The cat is also here, and she is looking at her food as though she is unsure about it. Oh, she's eating it now.
I think cats are generally skeptical of everything they encounter.
Exactly. The inner monologue of a cat is, "What is this bullshit?" Constantly. So what's next?
Oh, no, but it's...
Oh, wait, Jeff's talking.
It's punctuated by, "What the hell
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did you hear that?
I did not.
The cat's other inner monologue is, what the hell have you people done now? Because, like, it was cold yesterday, and the cat was not having it. She was, like, meowing at us. Yeah. Like it was something we had done.
Yeah.
All right. Next on the thing.
There's just one more. Editorializing. The whole Harvey Weinstein thing seems disingenuous to me. The casting couch hasn't been donated to the Goodwill yet. I guess that's a little bit of a metaphor there. It's pervasive. I've been offered the glorious opportunity to participate in sex in exchange. Maybe, probably not, but maybe for a more significant role in this show. I think she's speaking as one of these accusers. I've also been slammed by my community, who believed that I was an insane bitch after declining said opportunity. Obviously, the more established person was very untrustworthy and had no rumors fluttering about his casting methods. The OG is to me just absurd. OG, you thought it magically evaporated somehow. Also, racism doesn't exist and global warming is a sham.
I don't know, man. It could be an anecdote.
Yeah. Now that I'm rereading it.
Yeah. I'm stroking my chin. You can't see. So yeah. I get it. Kind of the. Again, having no actual knowledge of it, I cannot speak to it, but I get it.
But it's also, anecdote, allegory or not, I think we're starting to see the facade break down. More and more people are coming forward, and more and more women and men are being believed. And just today, the New York Times released a story about the bad behavior of comedian and filmmaker Louis C.K. Rumors have been swirling around for years, for more than 10 years, about Louis's bad behavior, but nobody wanted to like publicly come forward because he was such a powerhouse in the industry. And
go ahead.
Yeah, and now more people are feeling emboldened, and the population, I think, is more willing to listen and believe.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, honestly, this is. And maybe I'm just being naive or whatever, but the thing that what's that? She said I'm probably being naive. but I honestly thought that people knew about it and they just didn't care.
I don't think it was
that guy is a creep. And it was just a. Okay, see,
you got it there.
Jennifer is telling me that I'm right as far as that goes. Yeah, like, this guy's a creep. Don't invite him to your party unless you want to see his penis at some point.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that enters into it, but there's also the aspect of people know about it, and it's not that they don't care, but they're looking out for number one, or they're looking out for the industry, or for a business, or for a show, a property. You know, they don't want to give it a bad name by associating it with the bad behavior of somebody, so they are able to look the other way.
All right, what were you wearing? I'm gonna tell you something that Jennifer is probably gonna look up at some point in time. I'm calling my shot like Babe Ruth. I know this is something. But this is a real thing. You can look it up. There was an artist who was a performance artist. As you know, listener, Ben and I were performance artists, but this is an installation rather than a thing. And I might have mentioned it on this podcast before. The Rape Tunnel.
Did I hear you correctly? Yeah. The Rape Tunnel?
Yeah, where he said that this gallery, you know, this one gallery is going to have his installation piece, and the installation piece was called The Rape Tunnel, and it was a tunnel that he had built in the gallery, and the idea was that if you went into the tunnel, you were giving him consent to do whatever he wanted to you. So it's really easy. Just don't go in the tunnel and you'll be fine. But if you go in there, he's going to get you. That was the concept of the press release that he put out. But the thing was that this tunnel, spoiler alert for the rape tunnel, this insulation never actually existed. What he was really doing was a sociological experiment to see how people would react to the concept of this
right.
thing being in a gallery.
Right, which in itself is a type of performance art, I guess.
And he was like, there were a lot of ways that people reacted to this was by inventing a bigger, stronger man who would go into the tunnel and do things to me. that's like number one. And then he listed off a couple other things. And then he said, and the thing that gets me about the uproar in here is that there's a tunnel nearby where this art museum is that is well known by the police to be a dangerous place and people get hurt all the time there. I wish that some of the shock and outrage about this fake tunnel that I talked about would be applied to this thing.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
It was a cool thing to read, but for the life of me, don't remember the name of the artist, don't remember if I've got all the facts right.
Yeah. People are oddly specific about what they choose to be enraged about.
It is true. That's why I don't read the news anymore. Speaking about that, Ben, is there any specific thing in the news that you think that I would be that I should know about that I don't know about right now?
Oh.
Like, well, surely Paul has heard about this.
If I knew you were going to ask me that, I would have paid closer attention to the news in that context. But one thing that I did see today was that it came out that...
Oh, wait. Before you do that, sorry. What I would like you to do is I would like you to... are you familiar with the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me show, all those kind of things?
Yeah.
Okay. See if you can form it this way. Name an aspect of the story and say... like, for example, like using historical things, a U.S. president went to see a show, but was very surprised when instead of having a fun time, this happened. And then my answer would be he got shot by John Wilkes Booth. Can you give me something like that? And then I will, one, guess it, and then, two, tell you if I had heard about it or not.
All right. Paul, today we've asked you here to play a game we're calling Guess the News Story.
Okay, guess the news story.
So it came out that Intel chips installed in probably 90% of all home computers not only help your computer run, but they also do what?
Okay, I do not know this news story. I have not heard this news story. I am going to guess, and this is just because you know how my brain works. Send information to either companies or the government?
You're close enough. I'm going to give it to you. The chips actually have an underlying OS that is not user accessible that spies on your system. And so the tinfoil hatters are saying that these can be used to send information back to whomever.
Yeah, well, you know, at one point in time, Ben, there was a story about how the government was getting information about our phone calls, and I told people, oh, that's crazy, and they were like, it doesn't really happen. I'm like, no, they're spying on your... And then it came out that it was.
Yeah.
And so I had suspected something like this was happening, but I had never known it before. I'll tell you, as another example, when I'm using computers just in general that aren't mine, and their performance is so weirdly slow and odd, I automatically think that they're keylogging something, or you know, have some sort of a monitoring software.
I've always assumed that any transaction on a computer, especially when you're dealing with a large database, is not necessarily secure. So everybody should look into using a VPN for their home computer work. But I saw a quote today that you know, George Orwell predicted that Big Brother would be spying on all of us. George Orwell did not predict that we would buy and install the cameras for them.
Yeah. That's right. But you know, it just makes me happy that I went through my paranoia phase already. So now I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I really do suggest reality being on reality television if you're worried about people spying on you. Because then you're like, yep, people do see stuff. So anyway, that was good. Actually, do you have any more? Because this is actually an okay segment, I think.
Let's see, what else did I come up with? We already talked about the other thing I was going to say, is along with the allegations of Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, this popular comedian has now been outed by the New York Times as being a serial masturbator.
Now, okay, as soon as you say serial masturbator, and I'm sorry for his brand, but I would have known you were talking about Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I
already knew about that news story.
Yeah, because you told what's him. That guy's name? He was in Entourage. He was there's more allegations about another bad actor.
Is it
the dude who was in Entourage?
Is it the guy who was like, he was on a TV show? I think he was on a TV show Cupid. And he was in a movie called PCU. Is it that guy?
I think it is. I think I haven't seen either of those things.
Did he play the agent on Entourage?
Yeah, he was the agent on Entourage.
Yeah, that guy. That guy. I know who you're talking about.
I just read his name today.
He was on Smoking Aces.
Anyway.
A movie. Whose name I don't remember. Well, too bad for that guy.
Anyway, he apparently is a terrible person as well.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Let's see. Did that happen before? Before last Thursday? I can't remember what all has transpired in the last week. Yeah. There was did the World Series come to an end before we spoke last?
Oh, there was a World Series.
There was a World Series. I think it did end. I don't know if we talked about it, but at this point,
okay,
it's not a big deal.
Who won?
The Houston Astros won. They beat the Los Angeles Dodgers in 7 games.
Okay, I did not know that either of those two teams were playing.
Yeah.
So there we go. Well, awesome. Now I know something. The Houston Astros.
Yeah.
And the Los Angeles Dodgers. See, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe.
Because where I'm from, the Dodgers play in Brooklyn.
Oh, the Houston Astros. I get it. Because space. Houston, we have a problem.
Yes.
Yeah. That is connected. I get you. Good job, those guys.
Yeah. I don't have any other news stories coming to mind right now. I would have to look them up, but of course, as you know, we keep it wrong here, so I'm forbidden from using my internet search engine.
Let's see, things that I've heard. I heard that NASA has some sort of a police force.
A police force?
Yeah, either they have a SWAT team or some kind of a team that has law enforcement capabilities, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, I mean it's a government agency, so they're kind of like G-men.
Yeah, exactly.
Except, you know,
I mean,
the post office
has
a police
force.
Works
for the Treasury Office, so
yeah.
I still like the idea that insurance agents should, depending on how high your payout is, should assign you bodyguards. So they don't have to pay out the money.
Wait, what?
It just makes sense to me. What's that?
Insurance
life insurance agencies, right?
Yeah,
should have bodyguards for people. so they don't die, and therefore they don't have to pay out the money.
Can these bodyguards guard against, say, advanced COPD or congenital heart defects?
Hey, sir.
Put down the Big Mac. Louis Put C.K. down the Big Mac.
Louis C.K., please stop doing that. Your heart just can't take it anymore. Hey, it's a callback. I'm sorry. Now I can't work for Louis C.K.
Too soon, too soon.
Here's the thing. I enjoy his comedy most of the time.
Yeah, and this is something that we've talked about. Can you still now enjoy his art?
Well, this is, and I really hate to say it, but I think we talked about this last time. If your persona is that you're a kind of creepy person, which he does do sometimes.
Masturbation does enter into a lot of his stand-up comedy.
Yeah, so the fact that he doesn't really surprise me. Maybe in front of other people is the issue. I think that's the issue. I don't think that it's...
Well, no. The fact that he is a proud masturbator isn't why he's a bad person. The fact that he forces people to watch him do it, that's the problem.
And this is the other thing, I don't know, about the forcing to... Again, a story that a friend of mine had, I might have mentioned this before. This guy that I know, we were in college. This guy was going to this other guy's house. And then the guy came into the room and started working on a manual typewriter, not wearing any pants. And the other guy was like, well, I'm going away now. And the guy's like, what? What's the problem? And at that point in time, don't you know what the problem is? Don't you think, oh, maybe people won't like it if I walk in here without my pants on?
It's also a weird, like, I think that kind of also depends on how you are raised. I was raised in a very conservative household, not, like, religiously speaking, but like as far as decorum is concerned, you know?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people were like, nudity is just a thing that happens at home.
But, okay. And that is a thing that I can attest to does happen in a home. You know, I'm going from my bedroom to the bathroom. Am I going to put on pants? No. If I'm the only one in the house and I want to watch TV, do I necessarily put on pants? Maybe I don't. You know what I mean? It's a sea change, for sure. When I was growing up, it may be the influence of the other members of my family here in this house. When I was a kid, I would not go anywhere without pants on.
Right.
Absolutely not. But here's the thing. This is the point I'm making. Louis C.K., at some point in time, right, has got to get into his head, hey, maybe not everybody is into this. So either he's really bad at reading a room as far as, hey, is this a good time to start this? Or he's, you know... He's doing a thing on purpose because he likes it when people don't like it when he's doing it.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to presume on his mental well-being, but I'm guessing it's not his inability to read a room. He's a stand-up comedian. That's his job, is being able to read a room.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's more of a... he's figured out at one point that that's his fetish. That's his thing. That's what gets him off. And he can't get away with it.
Here's the thing that I'm imagining his act, right? And the person he is in his act, when he's complaining about, you know, how you're flying in an airplane and you should be, you know, in awe that you're flying in an airplane. Right. And what's wrong with you and all
everything
that.
Is amazing and nobody is happy, I think, is the kicker for that.
I am imagining right now, he's masturbating, you're there when it's happening, and he's like, what? And you are feeling bad because you're like, and he's like, this is bad,
there's genocide and other things, but this is what you're going to get upset about.
I see what you're saying. You're trying to contextualize it in terms of worse things that are happening in the world. Not you, Paul, but you as Louis C.K.
Yeah. I think, you know, or like, oh, so you're going to be like, I guess the thing is that he probably doesn't turn into a different person. He's still got his attitude and his speech pattern and everything like that. And now that that's in my head, this is one of the reasons I avoid the news. Now that that's in my head, I can't, like, get that idea out of it that he's having an argument with me about how I shouldn't be upset about what he's doing. Now, I'm presuming a lot, but I don't really think that I'm his target audience for this sort of performance anyway. I'm guessing, but I don't know. You know, is it anybody that he meets, or does he corner people? You know, I have all these questions, none of which need to be answered.
Well, if you want,
perfectly capable.
If you want, you can read the article in the New York Times.
New York Times.
I don't
have a problem with the New York Times, really.
I did think of other big newsworthy things that happened since last week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to present it in the form of a question, but I will just say that there was an election last Tuesday. And
wait. I think I understand about this. Was it in a place that starts with an M?
I'm sure it was in places that started with M's.
An election for how many?
It was a countrywide. There were state and local elections in many places.
Specific state and local elections.
Well, we voted for a new mayor here in Seattle. Virginia got a new governor. New Jersey got a new governor. Hoboken, New Jersey got a new mayor who is a Sikh.
Oh, cool.
A lot of, there were like 6 transgendered people who got elected to office on Tuesday. One person is one transgendered person beat in an election the sponsor of the anti-transgendered bathroom bill.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Not as much shade as was thrown when she was asked questions by an interviewer, and the interviewer asked her, "Now that the election's over, do you have any resentment, or are you going to retaliate? But are you going to do anything about Bob? Bob was the guy that she beat, and she's like, I'm not going to do anything with Bob. Bob is I don't talk bad about my constituents, and Bob is one of my constituents now."
Oh, nice. By the way, for the listener, when Ben said it was countrywide and I said, dang it, I was looking at the upcoming elections on my voter registration card. And there is one for November 6th, but it's in November 6th of 2018. There's no new election for now.
The problem with...
I did not miss my election.
We'll see. Do you actually go to the polls, or is Illinois a mail-in ballot state?
Illinois is not a mail-in ballot state. I have to go.
Actually, I don't think all of Washington is mail-in, but King County certainly is. And even so...
Yeah, I think Pierce County... This is a weird thing. I don't know why I know this. Pierce County wasn't, at least not back in 2014.
Even so, even though we are an all mail-in ballot, King County only had 23% turnout of all registered voters.
Here's the thing: 23 is actually pretty high, from
for an off-year election. But still, it's like the people who there's like a 100% turnout of my Facebook friends.
Yeah. One of the things I like about you mentioned the mayor, New Jersey, was a Sikh.
Yeah.
One of the things I really like about the Sikh community. There was a video game, Hitman. One of its chapters was about this guy who was a Sikh who was involved in crimes, like ran a crime syndicate or something like that.
Okay.
And the Sikh community was like, no one in the Sikh community has ever been convicted of this kind of crime thing.
Yeah.
You can't do this.
Yeah.
And they won. It was pretty great.
That's great.
There was a Sikh guy who I met when I was doing electrical work, the work that he could do was limited because he couldn't wear a hard hat.
Right.
But apparently I don't remember exactly
how
I don't want to say that there's a really big hard hat, but there's a possibility that there is one.
Well, see, that's a question I have, because at the outer gates of construction sites, there are signs everywhere that says to enter here, you have to wear a hard hat and safety glasses. Yeah. So how does a Sikh get around that? How do they, what's the safety mechanism there?
Well, here's the thing. The idea, the really big hard hat idea, this is the problem.
Which just sounds absurd to the point of being like comedy, you know?
I think he was kidding. I think it was a joke.
I hope it was.
There are jobs that you could, I mean, here's the thing. You can be a member of that union and not work on construction sites. There are other jobs that you can hold that don't have anything to do with that. But I mean, that's one of those things of there are gray areas in not just, you know, the US and lots of different places where, like, for instance, if I wanted to, you know, constantly have a boombox on my shoulder, right?
Yeah.
Would
you want to be protected?
Well, that's the thing, is that there are things that I probably wouldn't be able to do because of that. The reason I'm pausing is because I'm now just thinking, I mean, my mind is racing about, would that be, that could be a religion. That could be an actual religion where you have a boombox that plays the music of your religion constantly. Yeah.
Well, the
wherever you go,
the colander heads, I think, were recognized somewhere. The flying spaghetti monster.
Well, yeah, sure, sure.
So, you know,
but
you lobby hard enough, you can get exemptions.
The idea is, of course, the music of your religion is the Fat Boys. And so you have a boombox and you're playing the Fat Boys everywhere. And Run-DMC. Run-DMC and the Fat Boys would be either one.
Briefly, speaking of the Fat Boys, when I was a kid, we had HBO and they played the Disorderlies, I think, every day.
Disorderlies.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I've never seen.
Oh, you should watch it. I mean, at least when I was like 12 years old, it was an enjoyable movie. Who knows how it stands up.
There's another one of that nature, kind of Brain Donors. Another screwball comedy like reboot or whatever, you know, sort of a Stooges, Marx Brother kind of thing.
Right.
Not exactly the same. I'm not trying to draw a direct parallel between the two, but kind of a similar thing. Speaking of a similar thing, hey, Batty!
Oh God!
What?
We are nearing the time that the podcast is over. And that means talking to Betty.
Hey, Betty.
So come over here.
Yeah, you come over here.
Oh, no. I have to come over there. See?
Oh, to where the phone is charging?
Yeah. No. Her phone is charged. Now she's just being obstinate. What does obstinate mean, Betty?
I don't know.
That's
right. I was going to ask you the same question.
It doesn't matter. Hey, Betty.
What's the difference?
Now, Ben, did you?
What's the difference between ignorance and apathy?
What's the difference between ignorance and apathy?
This is a joke. I'm not asking for actual definitions.
How did I know?
She didn't do it.
What was I supposed to do?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Exactly.
That's a Goody Lawrence joke. We're not the only ones who
did it. We
didn't
make it up.
But, no. Oh, man, I was thinking about this the other day. I got steamed one time because I made a joke and somebody told me that somebody else made that joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understood, but... And here's the thing. You know that if if I ever, well, because we could talk about this a little bit. There were times when you and I were pitching something and I'd be like, oh, so-and-so already did that. Yeah. And we were like, damn it. Okay. Yeah. We can't do that then. We do. So we really do our best to not do things that other people have done.
But that's hard because you can't know everything, right? You like, oh, this is a great idea. This is a great concept. Let's do this. You know, not knowing that somebody else has done something similar. And so you might be considered having stolen that idea.
Right. And the big thing is that, I don't know how else to say it, but at some point in time, this is one of the reasons why I'm making jokes on social media, not something I'm a fan of anymore, because you have no proof that you didn't see it there. And if people don't trust you, then maybe they're not your real friends anyway.
You know what? I've gotten into the habit of Googling jokes that or like clever portmanteaus or puns that I've thought of, and I have erased or deleted a number of Twitter posts and Facebook statuses because I realized, oh, okay, I didn't actually steal this, but it's so similar to something somebody else has already thought of. It's not
what I would do. I had a system where I would delete my post and then I would just write a new post that was just the word damn it really big and a link to a joke that they did.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite things to do. But the other thing that one of the reasons why I got rid of my older Twitter accounts was because I was constantly going back and going, oh yeah, I made this joke back in 2006. Stuff like that. I remember the first time I was on Twitter, I made a joke about how you had run out of characters. Well, funny thing about that, why wouldn't you just edit your post? Why did you hit send before you finished your character? That doesn't make any sense.
I wrote this tweet back in 1986 and mailed it to myself.
Yeah, exactly. There's a thing I saw. Andy Daly, are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not familiar with him, but I have heard of him.
There's a thing on either Netflix or Amazon, and I'm sorry I don't remember which, called Before You Were Funny, where comedians will read old sketches of theirs. And Andy Daly read one that he had mailed to himself because he thought it was so good that he didn't want anyone to steal it. And then he ended up reading it. And it was all right, but it wasn't like great. Right. And he was sort of disappointed. And I realized that one of the Spin the Bottle pieces that we did, I think this is before we were Goody Lawrence, I think this is just you helping me out, is I had mailed something to myself and I opened it up and read it at Spin the Bottle. And I forget exactly what it was, but it wasn't like great.
I don't remember that one.
But it makes me, then that's maybe you weren't even helping at that point. I mean, that on that one. Like, but then I remembered the Oddfellas Hall when that there was this big thing about how they were going to open up the safe because they found the numbers on it. Do you remember this?
In the Oddfellas Hall.
Matthew Richter, I believe.
Was
like behind a painting, there were some numbers written. Geez. But the thing is that the safe had two different dials and they couldn't figure out how it worked, and so they just sort of gave up. A very Al Capone.
I was just gonna say, was this Matt Richter's Geraldo Rivera moment?
It was indeed, yes. Speaking of Geraldo Rivera moments, Betty, you're still here. Hello.
Hey.
What exactly is so interesting on your phone that you were watching?
Nothing.
Netflix
was interesting about what I was watching. You shouldn't question my.
Oh my gosh.
Authority.
Don't question your authority.
Yes.
Okay. So, Betty.
Oh, she's watching what? South Park, is she?
Have you been watching South Park?
No.
No, she says.
Do not question my authority.
You know, Betty is into some pretty cool music, though.
I've been listening to The Veils, and they're awesome.
The Veils, Ben. They're a good band.
Unsurprisingly, I have not heard of them.
Betty has excellent taste. Check out The Veils.
Yeah, I don't I don't do the new music. I have the music that's in my iTunes, and that's all I listen to.
Yeah, I understand. I am the same way, except my iTunes contains songs from the Vales. But no, I recently also bought True Stories. True Stories by... What's their heads?
Dad.
The Talking Heads.
I think I think the hippest I've ever been was I went to a show. I went to an Arcade Fire show at Soto a couple years ago. With a friend.
Oh, that
of mine.
Is pretty cool. Yeah.
Dad, Ben, sounds
like
I think we're done with the podcast.
I think I think she's trying to get your attention somehow.
Betty, what is it?
Do you want me to leave?
No. We're gonna be going though because we have to go and get your friend a birthday gift.
Oh yeah! Also, if you're watching this, and I know you aren't, happy birthday, Sam.
Oh yes, happy birthday to Sam.
Happy birthday, Sam.
I platonically love you. Mwah.
Okay, so Sam, if you're listening to this, Betty platonically loves you.
All right.
And now.
And with that,
we will see each other later. By
next
our
week.
Ear eyes.
All right.
Keep it wrong,
Keep
Ben.
It wrong, Paul. I'll talk to you later.